What the show you're telling is hard to find on TV screen. It's on talk radio. Oh. Truth is on talk radio. Oh. Turn it on, turn it up, and out as it goes. Talk radio.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is the National Intel Report. I'm host John Stadtmiller, live with you on Monday, 26 January, 09. What I'm going to do today, everybody sit back and relax just a little bit. I want to go into a little bit of history, and people doubt that we are a Zionist-run country. Well, I'm going to use the words of Benjamin H. Friedman. He was at the Willard Hotel in 1961 on behalf of the Condi, McGinley's newspaper, Common Sense. And he was acquainted with such people as Bernard Baruch, Samuel Untermeyer, as well as President Woodrow Wilson, up to Dick Nixon. Mr. Friedman, by the way, is Jewish. See, I don't make up my own stuff. I just use the words of people that are decrying the fact that we are under assimilated control. It's the Matrix. And it's fascinating, this guy, he was on the hit list of the ADL, the American Defamation League, and the American Jewish Committee. As I said, he wrote for the newspaper, McGinley's Common Sense newspaper. He said, one of McGinley's angels, a Jewish anti-Semite, Benjamin Friedman, had told the Armed Services Committee on December 12, 1950, that he'd given $15,000 to Common Sense. And, you know, this guy, besides Bernard Baruch, famous banker, Friedman was acquainted with Henry Morgenthau, senior, not junior. As I said, Samuel Untermeyer, Franklin Roosevelt, Joe Kennedy, his son John, H.L. Hunt and son Nelson Bunker. He was at the Versailles Peace Conference. He was an advisor to Nelson Bunker Hunt, the American businessman most famous for his silver dealings. In Robert John's Behind the Balfour Declaration, published by the Holocaust Denial Institute for Historical Review, ooh, what a title, the only acknowledgement is to Friedman. John says that Friedman gave me copies of materials on the Balfour Declaration, which I might have never found on my own, and encouraged my own research. And Curtis B. Dahl put Friedman in a list of unspecified acknowledgements, and FDR, my exploited father-in-law. Now, this guy was around. And I mean around. You know, goes into the Balfour. How World War One was engineered. World War Two was engineered. And I call it World War One and then World War One Part Two. Also into the Zionist. And there was a nice piece done by Jack Bernstein. It was written back in 85. If I can get around to the issue of Zionist propaganda and dual citizenship and all this other stuff, I will do so if time allows. But folks, this is true history, speaking by and for Jews themselves. I hope I don't stumble and bumble my whole way through the next 2 hours. It's Monday, folks. The problems are still on the table, and Monday morning we always face them anew. It's time to quit hacking at the branches and put the root kill in to kill the evil tree. We'll be back.
Hi, I'm Roger Mason, the inventor of Beta Prostate. Men, are you getting up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom? Is your love life not what it used to be? Many men don't realize these issues are often related to their prostate health. Prostate problems start about age 40, and by 50, over half of men already have a prostate problem. This only gets worse. What can you do? See a doctor for checkups and take Beta Prostate. It is the well-researched natural formula that supports a healthy prostate, and it's made with pure beta-cytosterol, 11 essential minerals plus vitamin D. This is the best-selling prostate formula in the world. It's safe, it's healthy, and what every man over 40 should take for good prostate nutrition.
To try Beta Prostate risk-free, dial 1-800-362-5848. Call today for Beta Prostate and get Roger Mason's best-selling book free with your order. Dial 1-800-362-5848. That's 1-800-362-5848.
Hi, I'm Roger Mason, the inventor of Beta Prostate. Men, are you getting up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom? Is your love life not what it used to be? Many men don't realize these issues are often related to their prostate health. Prostate problems start about age 40, and by 50, over half of men already have a prostate problem. This only gets worse. What can you do? See a doctor for checkups and take Beta Prostate. It is the well-researched natural formula that supports a healthy prostate, and it's made with pure beta-cytosterol, 11 essential minerals plus vitamin D. This is the best-selling prostate formula in the world. It's safe, it's healthy, and what every man over 40 should take for good prostate nutrition.
To try Beta Prostate risk-free, dial 1-800-362-5848. Call today for Beta Prostate and get Roger Mason's best-selling book free with your order. Dial 1-800-362-5848. That's 1-800-362-5848.
With financial uncertainty circling the globe due to job losses, decline in the housing market, a climate of corruption, bailouts, currency rigging, and unfair competition, many are once more turning to precious metals as the only hedge against the uncertainty of the future. With the U.S. House conducting hearings on proposals to confiscate workers' personal retirement accounts, including 401ks and IRAs, this is the time to secure your assets. Call Republic Trading Group today, 800-691-7898, before this happens, and find out how easy it is to convert your existing IRA and in some instances your 401k plan into real wealth now. Don't let the ravages of hyperinflation caused by the massive increase of fiat currency now flooding world markets affect your retirement account. Call RTG at 800-691-7898 and experience the security and peace of mind that only real gold and silver can offer. That number again is 800-691-7898. Call now.
Get ready for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
The opening statement at the Willard Hotel in 61. And folks, 61, 71, 81, 91, 2001, some 48 years ago. Friedman says here in the United States, the Zionists and their co-religionists have complete control of our government. For many reasons, too many and too complex to go into here at this time, the Zionists and their co-religionists rule these United States as though they were an absolute monarch of this country. Now you may say that this is a very broad statement, but let me show you what happened while we were all asleep. What happened? World War I broke out in the summer of 1914. There are a few people here my age who remember that. Now, that war was waged on one side by Great Britain, France, and Russia, on the other side by Germany, Austria, Hungary, and Turkey. Within 2 years, Germany had won that war, not only won it nominally, but won it actually. The German submarines, which were a surprise to the world, had swept all convoys from the Atlantic Ocean. Great Britain stood there without ammunition for her soldiers, with 1 week's food supply, and after that, starvation. At that time, the French army had mutinied. They had lost 600,000 of their flower of the French, he says, the youth in the defense of the Verdun and the Somme. The Russian army was defecting. They were picking up their toys and going home. They didn't want to play war anymore. They didn't like the Tsar, and the Italian army had collapsed. Not a shot had been fired on German soil. Not one enemy soldier had crossed the border into Germany, and yet Germany was offering England peace terms. They offered England a negotiated peace on what the lawyers call a status quo ante basis. That means, let's call the war off and let everything be as it was before it got started. England in the summer of 1916 was considering that, seriously considering it. They had no choice. It was either accepting this negotiated peace that Germany was magnanimously offering them, or going on with a war and being totally defeated. Now, while that was going on, the Zionists in Germany, who represented the Zionists from Eastern Europe, went to the British War Cabinet, and he said, I'm going to be brief because it's a long story, but all I have all the documents to prove any statement that I make. They said, look here, you can yet win this war. You don't have to give up. You don't have to accept the negotiated peace offered to you now by Germany. You can win this war if the United States will come in as your ally. The United States was not in the war at the time. We were fresh. We were strong. We were rich. We were powerful. They told England, we will guarantee to bring the United States into the war as your ally to fight with you on your side if you will promise us Palestine after you win the war. In other words, they made this deal. We will get the United States into the war as your ally. The price you must pay is Palestine after you have won the war and defeated Germany, Austria, Hungary, and Turkey. Now, England had as much right to promise Palestine to anybody as the United States would have to promise Japan to Ireland for any reason whatsoever. It's absolutely absurd that Great Britain never had any connection or any interest or any right in what is known as Palestine, should offer it as a coin of the realm to pay the Zionists for bringing the United States into the war. However, they did make that promise in October of 1916, and shortly after that, I don't know how many there were, many here remember it, the United States, which was almost totally pro-German, entered the war as Britain's ally. I say that the United States was almost totally pro-German because the newspapers here were controlled by the Jews. The bankers were Jews. All the media of mass communication in this country were controlled by the Jews. And they, the Jews, were pro-German. They were pro-German because many of them had come from Germany, and also they wanted to see Germany lick the Tsar. The Jews didn't like the Tsar, and they didn't want Russia to win the war. These German Jew bankers like Kuhn Loeb and other big banking firms in the United States refused to finance France or England to the extent of $1. They stood aside and said, as long as France and England are tied up with Russia, not 1 cent. But they poured money into Germany. They fought beside Germany against Russia, trying to lick the Tsarist regime. Now, those same Jews, when they saw the possibility of giving Palestine, went to England and made this deal. At the time, everything changed like a traffic light that changes from red to green, where the newspapers had all been pro-German, where they'd been telling people of all the difficulties that Germany was having fighting Great Britain commercially and in other respects. All of a sudden, the Germans were no good. They were villains. They were Huns. They were shooting Red Cross nurses. They were cutting off babies' hands. They were no good. Shortly after that, Mr. Wilson declared war on Germany. The Zionists in London had sent cables to the United States to Justice Brandeis saying, go to work on President Wilson. We're getting from England what we want. Now you go to work on President Wilson and get the United States into the war. That's how the United States got into the war, folks. We have no more interest in it. We had no more right to be in it than we had to be in the Man in the Moon tonight instead of in this room. There was absolutely no reason for World War I to be our war. We were railroaded into, and if I can be vulgar, we were suckered into it. The war merely so that the Zionists of the world could obtain Palestine. That is something that the people of the United States have never been told. They never knew why we went into World War I. After we got into the war, the Zionists went to Great Britain and they said, well, we performed our part of the agreement. Let's have something in writing that shows that you're going to keep your bargain and give us Palestine after you win the war. Well, they didn't know whether the war would be lasting another year or another 10 years, so they started to work out a receipt. That receipt took the form of a letter, which was worded in a very cryptic language so that the world at large wouldn't know what it was all about. And that was called the Balfour Declaration. The Balfour Declaration was merely Great Britain's promise to pay the Zionists what they had agreed upon as a consideration for getting the United States into the war. So this great Balfour Declaration that you hear so much about is just as phony as a $3 bill. I don't think I could make it any more emphatic than that. This is where all the trouble started. The United States got into the war. The United States crushed Germany. You know what happened. When the war ended and the Germans were sent to Paris for the Paris Peace Conference in 1919, there were 117 Jews there as a declaration representing the Jews headed by Bernard Baruch. I was there. I ought to know. Now what happened? The Jews at the peace conference, when they were cutting up Germany and parceling out Europe to all these nations who claimed a right to certain part of European territory, said, how about Palestine for us? And they produced, for the first time, to the knowledge of the Germans, this Balfour Declaration. So the Germans, for the first time, realized, oh, so that's the game. That's why the United States came into the war. The Germans, for the first time, realized that they were defeated. They suffered the terrific reparations that were slapped onto them because the Zionists wanted Palestine, and we were determined to get it at any cost. It brings us to a very interesting point. When the Germans realized this, they naturally resented it. Up to that time, the Jews had never been better off in any country in the world than they had been in Germany. You had Mr. Rathenau there, who was maybe 100 times as important in industry and finance as Bernard Baruch in this country. You had Mr. Ballen, who owned the two big steamship lines, the North German Lloyds and the Hamburg American lines. You had Mr. Bleichroeder, who was the banker for the, and I hope I don't butcher this too bad, the Hohenzollern family. You had the Warburgs in Hamburg, who were the big merchant banks, the biggest in the world. The Jews were doing very well in Germany, no question about that. The Germans felt, well, that was quite a sellout. It was a sellout that might be compared to the hypothetical situation. Suppose the United States was at war with the Soviet Union, and we were winning. And we were told the Soviet, and we told the Soviet Union, well, let's quit. We offer you peace terms. Let's forget the whole thing. And all of a sudden, Ren China came into the war as an ally for the Soviet Union. And throwing them into the war brought about our defeat, a crushing defeat, with reparations, with the likes of the which man's imagination cannot encompass. Imagine then, after the defeat, if we found out that it was the Chinese in this country, our Chinese citizens, who all the time we had thought were loyal citizens working with us, were selling us out to the Soviet Union, and that it was through them that the Red China was brought into the war against us, how would we feel then if the United States against Chinese? I don't think that one of them would dare show his face on the street. There would be enough convenient lampposts to take care of them. Imagine how we would feel. Well, that's how the Germans felt toward these Jews. They'd been so nice to them from 1905 on, when the first communist revolution in Russia failed and the Jews had to scramble out of Russia. They all went to Germany. And Germany gave them refuge, and they were treated very nicely. And here they had sold Germany down the river for no reason at all, other than the fact that they wanted Palestine as a so-called Jewish Commonwealth. Now, Nathan Sokolow, or Sokolow, let me be, I don't want to call here from Sokolov, the lawyer on the radio. And all the great lenders and great names that you read about in connection with the Zionism today in 1919, 1920, 21, 22, 23.
Earthquakes, hurricanes, nuclear accidents, terror attacks, and all-out social collapse. With the world today more volatile than ever, the future has never looked more uncertain. Survivalist Magazine is the one resource you can't afford to be without. Claim your free trial subscription now at www.survivalist.com, and your first issue ships immediately. Get all the details and more at www.survivalist.com, or order by phone. Call 1-866-437-6570. Your survival may depend on it.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureFect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology, all while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureFect Ultra today by visiting PureFectFilters.com. or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821, or visit PureEffectFilters.com.
Dr. Joel Wallach, author of the famous health lecture, Dead Doctors Don't Lie, presents his newest book, Epigenetics. Epigenetics is required reading for the very survival of Americans, and yes, all of humanity. Modern man has bet on the wrong horse to save them from disease and pestilence. The medical system has failed us fearfully. Join the health revolution. Buy Epigenetics today and receive a free membership to purchase all the products that Dr. Joel Wallach formulated at wholesale prices, and receive a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. All this for only $25 plus shipping and handling. Call 888-311-4311. That's 888-311-4311. Again, that's just $25 plus shipping and handling. And you'll receive the new book, Epigenetics, a free membership, and a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. Call 888-311-4311. That's 888-311-4311.
Want something different from your detox? Then you want Hemp USA's Micro Plant Powder for a full body detox. With 7 formulations and 8 different sizes, you will feel and see the difference. And the best part? It's only about $10 a month. Our customers love it, and we ship worldwide. Get the detox difference. Get Micro Plant Powder from HempUSA.org. Call 888-910-4367 or visit HempUSA.org. See what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you at HempUSA.org.
Hey, honey, I'm home.
I grabbed the newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
The newspaper? Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, a majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper does not give out the important attention on what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Oh, by the way, I've got to do this before I forget. We are looking for a radio broadcast engineer. Okay? And I've been getting responses over the last couple of days, and people are going, can you be more specific? Okay, that would be a fine idea. Radio engineer. People are calling me, what kind of engineer do you need? Well, this is a radio network, but we have people that like to cross the T's and dot the I's. Now, we're looking for somebody that has experience, motivation, and looking to start right away, okay? No, you cannot do this from the living room of your home. Job duties, automation software, program logs, board operation, audio enhancement, computer assembly, you know, off-the-shelf computer stuff. We've got support for all these expensive programs, so you don't have to be a programmer yourself. At any rate, if you are in the radio industry, or you were just recently in this century, because there has been light years, but tell you what, just give us a call or email your resume, mail it to me, johnstatmiller@hotmail.com, or call the network, 800-724-2719. When I got a guy that does my 3-hour morning show says, hey, I'm going to produce my own show, something had to change, at any rate. Back to what I was reading. Benjamin H. Friedman at the Willard Hotel in 1961. Now, World War I had been started against Germany for no reason for which Germany was responsible. They were guilty of nothing. And this is a Jew talking. I want you to remember this. Benjamin H. Friedman. These are not my words. It's not the reconstituted version of Adolf Hitler and Mein Kampf in the 92nd edition. No. Only being successful, they built up a big navy. They built up world trade. You must remember that Germany at the time of the French Revolution consisted of 300 small city-states, principalities, dukedoms, and so forth. 300 separate little political entities. And between that time, between the times of Napoleon and Bismarck, they were consolidated into one state. And within 50 years, they became one of the world's great powers. Their navy was rivaling Great Britain's. They were doing business all over the world. They could undersell anybody. They could make better products. Now, what happened as a result of that? There was a conspiracy between England, France, and Russia to slap down Germany. There isn't one historian in the world who can find a valid reason why those three countries decided to wipe Germany off the map politically. When Germany realized that the Jews were responsible for her defeat, they naturally resented it. But not a hair on the head of any Jew was harmed, not a single hair. Professor Tansel of Georgetown University, who had access to all the secret papers of the State Department, wrote in his book and quoted from the State Department document written by Hugo Schoenfeld, a Jew whom Cordell Hull sent to Europe in 1933 to investigate the so-called camps of political prisoners, who wrote back that he found them in very fine condition. They were in excellent shape, with everybody treated well, and they were filled with communists. Well, a lot of them were Jews, because the Jews happened to compromise about 98% of the communists in Europe at that time. And there were some priests there, and ministers, and labor leaders, and Masons, and others who had international affiliations. Now, some background is in order. 1918-1919, the communists took over Bavaria for a few days. Rosa Luxemburg and Karl Liebknecht and a group of other Jews took over the government for 3 days. In fact, when the Kaiser ended the war, he fled to Holland because he thought the communists were going to take over Germany, as they did Russia, and that he was going to meet the same fate as the Tsar, so he fled to Holland for safety. After the communist threat in Germany was quashed, the Jews were still working, trying to get back into their former status. And the Germans fought them in every which way they could without hurting a single hair on anyone's head. They fought them in the same way that in this country the prohibitionists fought anyone who was interested in liquor. They didn't fight one another with pistols. Well, that's the way they were fighting the Jews in Germany at the time. Mind you, there were 80 to 90 million Germans, and there were only 460,000 Jews. About one half of 1% of the population of Germany were Jews, and yet they controlled all the press. They controlled most of the economy because they had come in with cheap money when the mark was devalued and bought up practically everything. Sounds like America today, doesn't it?
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Recent events have shown just how vulnerable we are to deadly viruses, bacteria, and fungus. These diseases are all caused by infectious pathogens that often get the upper hand on conventional medical treatments. Now more than ever, there's a great need for a product that will help protect us. Look no further. Supernatural Silver can provide immune system support to help fight off these deadly pathogens. Supernatural Silver is a new and vastly improved type of silver solution that's safe and extremely effective against 143 types of bacteria, both forms of viruses, mold, and yeast. Supernatural Silver can be taken orally or used topically and can be used in a nebulizer or vaporizer for inhalation. With over 180 scientific studies by independent universities, hospitals, and research institutions, Supernatural Silver is a powerful weapon against disease. Go to supernaturalsilver.com and use the promo code SILVER2014 for 20% off your entire order. Give you and your loved ones a fighting chance with Supernatural Silver.
Dr. Joel Wallach, author of the famous health lecture, Dead Doctors Don't Lie, presents his newest book, Epigenetics. Epigenetics is required reading for the very survival of Americans, and yes, all of humanity. Modern man has bet on the wrong horse to save them from disease and pestilence. The medical system has failed us fearfully. Join the health revolution. Buy Epigenetics today and receive a free membership to purchase all the products that Dr. Joel Wallach formulated at wholesale prices and receive a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. All this for only $25 plus shipping and handling. Call 888-311-4311. That's 888-311-4311. Again, that's just $25 plus shipping and handling. And you'll receive the new book, Epigenetics, a free membership, and a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. Call 888-311-4311. That's 888-311-4311.
Now there's an amazing new natural antibiotic every person must have.
It's Cells Alive Silver Solution, and it destroys over 650 hard-to-kill viruses, fungus, bacteria, and much more. Cells Alive Silver Solution has no expiration date, is great for emergency kits and storage shelters, and comes in 8 or 16-ounce bottles. Order today at 888-910-4367 or visit hempusa.org. Hempusa.org, 100% chemical-free superfoods and unique health products.
Earthquakes, hurricanes, nuclear accidents, terror attacks, and all-out social collapse. With the world today more volatile than ever, the future has never looked more uncertain. Survivalist Magazine is the one resource you can't afford to be without. Claim your free trial subscription now at www.survivalist.com, and your first issue ships immediately. Get all the details and more at www.survivalist.com or order by phone. Call 1-866-437-6570. Your survival may depend on it.
Woo! Nice shooting. Hey, that's a sweet AK-47 chest rig. Is that multicam?
Yep, got it from StrikeHardGear.com.
Strike what?
StrikeHardGear.com.
Set your sights on StrikeHardGear.com. Tough, tactical gear for your Soviet-style weapon that's made in the USA. Affordable, plus a no-questions-asked 30-day money-back guarantee and lifetime replacement warranty. StrikeHardGear.com. Go ahead. Pull the trigger.
Americans are reeling from Obamacare, higher prices, and an epidemic of policy lapses. AsiaRunLikeHellGuide.com has you covered. World-class medical and surgery at one of Asia's most modern hospitals. 300 doctors, surgeons, and dentists serving 300,000 patients a year. Fractions of U.S. prices. Friends or family forced to go out of pocket? Avoid bankruptcy. Tell them to run. Run like hell. Hit us up now. We'll show you how. AsiaRunLikeHellGuide.com.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the real talk radio show.
So what did they do after this July 1933 meeting? What did they say to Germany? Fire Hitler? Put every Jew back in his former position? Whether he was a communist or no matter what he was, you can't treat us this way. We just destroyed your country and took control of it, but you can't treat me this way. I'm extra special. Well, in 1933, when Germany refused to surrender the World Conference of Jews in Amsterdam, the conference broke up. And Mr. Samuel Untermeyer, who was the head of the American delegation, and the president of the whole conference, came to the United States and went from the streamer to the studios of the Columbia Broadcasting System and made a radio broadcast throughout the United States, in which, in effect, he said, "The Jews of the world now declare a holy war against Germany, and we are now engaged in a sacred conflict against the Germans, and we are going to starve them into surrender. We are going to use worldwide boycott against them that will destroy them because they are dependent upon their export business. And it is a fact that two-thirds of Germany's food supply had to be imported, and it could only be imported with the proceeds of what they exported. So if Germany could not export, two-thirds of Germany's population would have to starve. There was just not enough food for more than one-third of the population." Now, in this declaration, which I have here, and which was printed in New York Times on August 7th of 1933, Mr. Samuel Untermeyer boldly stated that this economic boycott is our means of self-defense. President Roosevelt has advocated its use in the National Recovery Administration, which some of you may remember where everybody was to be boycotted unless he followed the rules laid down by the New Deal, and which was declared unconstitutional by the Supreme Court of that time. Nevertheless, the Jews of the world declared a boycott against Germany, and it was so effective that you couldn't find one thing in any store anywhere in the world with the words "Made in Germany" stamped on it. In fact, an executive of the Woolworth Company told me that he had to dump millions of dollars worth of crockery and dishes into the river, that their stores were boycotted if anybody came in and found a dish marked "Made in Germany." They were picketed with signs saying "Hitler, murderer," and so forth. Something like these sit-ins that are taking place in the South at a store belonging to R.H. Macy chain, which was controlled by a family called Strauss, who also happens to be Jews. A woman found stockings there which came from Chemnitz, marked "Made in Germany." Well, they were cotton stockings, and they may have been there 20 years since I've been observing women's legs for many years, and it's been a long time since I've seen cotton stockings on them. I saw Macy's boycotted with hundreds of people walking around with signs saying "murderers," "Hitlerites," and so forth. Now, up to that time, not one hair on the head of any Jew had been hurt in Germany. There was no suffering, there was no starvation, there was no murder, there was nothing. Naturally, the Germans said, "Who are these people to declare a boycott against us and throw all our people out of work and make our industries come to a standstill? Who are they to do that to us?" They naturally resented it. Certainly, they painted swastikas on stores owned by Jews. Why should a German go in and give his money to a storekeeper who was part of the boycott that was going to starve Germany into surrendering to the Jews of the world, who were going to dictate who their premier or chancellor was to be? Well, according to Mr. Friedman, well, it was ridiculous. The boycott continued for some time, but it wasn't until 1938 when a young Jew from Poland walked into the German embassy in Paris and shot a German official that the Germans really started to get rough with the Jews in Germany, and you found them breaking windows and having street fights and so forth. Now, I don't like to use the term anti-Semitism, Friedman writes, because it's meaningless, but it means something to you still, so I have to use it. The only reason that there was any feeling in Germany against Jews was that they were responsible for World War I and for this worldwide boycott. Ultimately, they were also responsible for World War II. Because after this thing got out of hand, it was absolutely necessary for the Jews and Germany to lock horns in a war to see which one was going to survive. In the meanwhile, I had lived in Germany, and I knew that Germans had decided that Europe is going to be a Christian or communist. There is no in-between. And the Germans decided they were going to keep it Christian, if possible. And they started to rearm. In November of 1933, the United States recognized the Soviet Union. The Soviet Union was becoming very powerful, and Germany realized that our turn was going to come soon unless we are strong. The same as we in this country are saying today. Our turn is going to come soon unless we are strong. Our government is spending $83 or $84 billion for defense. Remember, this is 1961, folks. Defense against whom? Defense against 40,000 little Jews in Moscow that took over Russia, and then, in their devious ways, took over control of many other countries of the world? For this country now to be on the verge of a third world war, from which we cannot emerge as a victor, is something that staggers my imagination. I know that nuclear bombs are measured in terms of megatons. A megaton is a term used to describe 1 million tons of TNT. Our nuclear bombs had a capacity of 10 megatons, or 10 million tons of TNT, when they were first deployed. Now the nuclear bombs that are being developed have the capacity of 200 megatons, and God knows how many more megatons the nuclear bombs of the Soviet Union have. What do we face now? If we trigger a world war that may develop into a nuclear war, humanity is finished. Why might such a war take place? It will take place as the curtain goes up on Act 3. Act 1 was World War I, Act 2 was World War I, Part 2, as I call it, and Act 3 is going to be World War III. The Jews of the world, the Zionists and their co-religionists everywhere, are determined that they are going to again use the United States to help them permanently retain Palestine as their foothold for the world government. That is just as true as I'm standing here, not alone having read it, but I'm sorry, but many here have also read it, and it is known all over the world. What are we going to do? The life you save may be your sons. Your boys might be on their way to that war tonight. And you don't know any more than you knew back in 1916 in London, the Zionists made a deal with British war cabinet to send your sons to war in Europe. Did you know it at the time? Not a person in the United States knew it. You weren't permitted to know it. Who knew it? President Wilson knew it. Colonel House knew it. And other insiders knew it as well. Did I know it? I had a pretty good idea what was going on. I was a liaison to Henry Morgenthau, Sr., in the 1912 campaign when President Wilson was elected, and there was talk around the office there. I was a confidential man to Henry Morgenthau, Sr., who was chairman of the Finance Committee, and I was liaison between him and Rollo Wells, the treasurer. So I sat in on these meetings with President Wilson at the head of the table and all the others, and I heard them drum into President Wilson's brain the graduated income tax and what has become the Federal Reserve. And I heard them indoctrinate him with the Zionist movement. Just Brandeis and President Wilson were just as close to as fingers on a hand. President Wilson was just as incompetent when it came to determining what was going on the newborn baby. That is how they got us into World War I, while we all slept. They sent our boys over there to be slaughtered for what? So the Jews can have Palestine as their commonwealth? They fooled you so much that you don't know where you're coming or you're going. Now, any judge, when he charges a jury, says, gentlemen, any witness who you will find has told a single lie, you can disregard all of his testimony. I don't know what state you came from, but in New York State, that is the way a judge addresses a jury. If that witness told one lie, disregard his testimony. Now, what are the facts of the Jews? And folks, I'm more than happy to do this on this network, because I am not an anti-Semite. I don't wish harm upon any Jew. I go to the pains of pointing out where communism came from, who's controlling this country right now. 2% of the population, less than 2%. And I'll get into the issue also of dual citizenship, of which Mr. Rahm Emanuel holds. So what are the facts about Jews? I call them Jews to you because they are known as Jews. I don't call them Jews myself. I refer to them as so-called Jews because I know what they are. The Eastern European Jews, who form 92% of the world's population, of those people who call themselves Jews, were originally Khazars. They were a warlike tribe who lived deep in the heart of Asia, and they were so warlike that even the Asiatics drove them out of Asia into Eastern Europe. They set a large Khazar kingdom, about 800,000 square miles. At the time, Russia did not exist, nor did many other European countries. The Khazar kingdom was the biggest country in all of Europe, so big and so powerful that when other monarchs wanted to go to war, the Khazars would lend them 40,000 soldiers. That's how big and powerful they actually were. They were phallic worshippers, which is filthy, Mr. Friedman says, and I do not want to go into the details of that now, but their religion. And it was also a religion of many other pagans and barbarians elsewhere in the world. The Khazar king became so disgusted with the degeneracy of his kingdom that they decided to adopt a so-called monotheistic faith, either Christianity, Islam, or what is known today as Judaism, which is really Talmudism. By spinning top and calling out eeny, meeny, miny, mo, he picked out the so-called Judaism, and that became the state religion. He sent down to the Talmudic schools of Pum Bitya and Surah, and they brought up thousands of rabbis and opened up synagogues and schools, and his people became what we call Jews. There wasn't one of them who had an ancestor who ever put a toe in the Holy Land, not only in the Old Testament history, but back to the beginning of time. Not one of them. And yet they come to the Christians and ask us to support their armed insurrection in Palestine by saying, you want to help repatriate God's support to support their armed insurrections in Palestine by saying, you want to help repatriate God's chosen people to their promised land, their ancestral home, don't you? It's your Christian duty. We gave you one of our boys as your Lord and Savior, Now you go to church on Sunday and you kneel and you worship a Jew, and we're Jews. But they are pagan Khazars who were converted just the same as the Irish were converted. It's ridiculous to call them people of the Holy Land, as it would be to call 54 million Chinese Muslim Arabs. Muhammad only died in 1620 AD, and since then 54 million Chinese accepted Islam as their religious belief. Now imagine in China, 2,000 miles away from Arabia, from Mecca and Muhammad's birthplace, imagine 54 million Chinese decided to call themselves Arabs. You would say they were lunatics. Anyone who believes that 54 million Chinese are Arabs must be crazy. All they did was adopt the religious faith, a belief that had its origin in Mecca, in Arabia. The same as the Irish. When the Irish became Christians, nobody dumped them in the ocean and imported to the Holy Land a new crop of inhabitants. They hadn't become a different people. They were the same people, but they had accepted Christianity as a religious faith. These Khazars, these pagans, these Asiatics, these Turco-Finns, were a Mongoloid race who were forced out of Asia into Eastern Europe because their king took the Talmudic faith. They had no choice in the matter. Just same as in Spain. If the king was Catholic, everybody had to be a Catholic. If not, you had to get out of Spain. So the Khazars became what we call today Jews. Now imagine how silly it was for the great Christian countries of the world to say, we're going to use our power and prestige to repatriate God's chosen people to their ancestral homeland, their promised land. Could there be a bigger lie than that? Because they control the newspaper, the magazines, the radio, the television, the book publishing business. And because they have the ministers in the pulpit and the politicians on the soapboxes talking the same language, it's not too surprising that you believe that lie. You believe black is white. If you heard it often enough, you wouldn't call a black black anymore. You'd start calling black white, and nobody could blame you. This is one of the great lies of history. It is the foundation of the misery that has befallen the world. Did you know that the Jews on the Day of Atonement, that you think is so sacred to them? I was one of them. This is not hearsay. I'm not here to rabble rouse. I'm here to give you the facts. When on the Day of Atonement, you walk into a synagogue, you stand up for the very prayer that you recite. It is the only prayer for which you stand. You repeat three times a short prayer called the Kol Nidre. In that prayer, you enter into an agreement with God Almighty that any oath, vow, or pledge that you may make during the next 12 months shall be null and void. The oath shall not be an oath. The vow shall not be a vow. The pledge shall not be a pledge. They shall have no force or effect. And further, the Talmud teaches that whenever you take an oath, vow, or pledge, you are to remember the Kol Nidre prayer that you recited on the Day of Atonement, and you are exempted from fulfilling them. How much can you depend on their loyalty? You can depend upon their loyalty as much as Germans depended on them in 1916. I'm going to next get into what Lassie Wilhelmson, I do believe. Yes, Wilhelmson. This guy, particularly interesting fellow, talks about Zionism as a Jewish national socialism. And folks, let me remind people of what the New World Order rights are envisioning for the world. The very Jews that control International Bank of Settlements, Federal Reserve inside this country, banks and economic systems worldwide. Funny how they're all experiencing a collapse right now. So better for the banker to come in and straighten out all the mess. We apologize for our dust here, but we're going to make everything okay. What they're after is total economic control of the world's engine. And we have not one Congress critter, save for Ron Paul in Washington, D.C., are saying, throw the bastard Jewish banker out on their ear. We've had enough usury. Larry is getting ready to do the deed to us in his next 4 years. Folks, you're not going to like the sight or the smell of this. It is going to be socialism.
The IRS is a private corporation, not a government agency. Income tax is collected by voluntary compliance. To learn to unvolunteer or discontinue volunteering into the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com and immediately implement strategy 1. The process must be repeated each and every time. Paper, letter, envelope, presentment, etc. Always and forever. Failure equates to acceptance, subsequent resultant contract, and you pay or go to jail by your own consent and agreement contract. Avoid recontracting. Visit escapeharassment.com and implement strategy 1 immediately. Bar lawyers and accountants won't help you. Why wait? Get strategy 1 and immediately implement to divorce the IRS today and forever. That's escapeharassment.com, strategy 1, to be free from the IRS. escapeharassment.com.
Dr. Joel Wallach, author of the famous health lecture, Dead Doctors Don't Lie, presents his newest book, Epigenetics. Epigenetics is required reading for the very survival of Americans, and yes, all of humanity. Modern man has been the wrong horse to save them from disease and pestilence. The medical system has failed us fearfully. Join the health revolution. Buy Epigenetics today and receive a free membership to purchase all the products that Dr. Joel Wallach formulated at wholesale prices and receive a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. All this for only $25 plus shipping and handling. Call 888-311-4311. That's 888-311-4311. And that's just $25 plus shipping and handling. And you'll receive the new Epigenetics, a free membership and a free CD of Doctors Don't Lie. Call 888-311-4311. That's 888-311-4311.
Wouldn't it be nice to have one product that replaces more than 10, saving you space, time, and money? HempUSA.org has a complete full-spectrum vitamin mineral detox formulation called MicroPlant Powder Gold. MicroPlant Powder Gold contains 101 vitamins, minerals, probiotics, and iodine, has a 100-year shelf life, and is a perfect addition to any storage shelter. Make MicroPlant Powder Gold your choice. Call 888-910-4367 or visit HempUSA.org today.
Earthquakes, hurricanes, nuclear accidents, terror attacks, and all-out social collapse. With the world today more volatile than ever, the future has never looked more uncertain. Survivalist Magazine is the one resource you can't afford to be without. Claim your free trial subscription now at www.survivalist.com and your first issue ships immediately. All the details and more at www.survivalist.com or order by phone. Call 1-866-437-6570. Your survival may depend on it.
To make a qualifying statement here. People will not do this on air because they fear the wrath of the Zionist. I do not. Let me face my enemy in the field of honor. Let them take off their mask and confront the American people with their lies and their deceptions. I, for one, ladies and gentlemen, on this subject will never, ever, ever, ever back down. And for those who find it uncomfortable talking about Jews that talk about their own problem, if they've got a problem with that, folks, they are not really your friends. Trust me. We can keep hacking at all the evil we see around us, encroaching the police state, courts that don't work for us anymore, the redress of government that goes unheard upon deaf ears, the sellout and the giveaway for generations to come, ladies and gentlemen. The guarantee to fix the banking problem, we're sorry, excuse our dust. It's only going to cost your grandchildren their lives. I will not make any apologies. I will not back down. Lassie Williamson, he said, somewhat mysterious personality. Hess is credited with being a source of the Jewish question by Karl Marx, who, however, repudiated him in strong terms. Hess rejected the class war concept of Marx and offered the race war and class peace idea, later utilized by Adolf Hitler. Herzl thought Hess was a true founder of Zionism and his forerunner. Lassie Williamson calls for a single democratic state in the whole of Palestine and for a boycott of Israel until its racist laws are repealed. Following Israel Shahak, he finds Judaism an extremely problematic doctrine and an origin of Israeli racism. He calls for the creation of a Palestine version of the ANC, a joint movement for all native and adopted Palestinians. And he writes in an article, Zionism more than traditional colonialism and apartheid. The Jewish colonization of Palestine under the Zionist slogan, the land without people to the people without a land, started almost 100 years ago and reached its first climax with the proclamation of the Jewish State of Israel in 1948. A second climax is now in the offing through an easy, or through an ongoing, rather, colonization of the West Bank and Gaza. A Jewish state needs a substantial majority of the Jews in the population. This has been ensured by the means of immigration, terror, and expulsion of the native Palestinian population. Jewish hegemony is the Israel today and is secured through a system of apartheid inherent in all aspects of society, be it law, administration, or religion. Israel lacks a constitution and fixed borders, which is fully consistent with Zionism's call for continual expansion. Israel is not even a democracy for Jews. There is a law in Israel passed in 1985 which forbids political parties to openly oppose the principles of the Jewish state. Neither are they allowed to work for a change of this principle through democratic means. A party so doing will be banned from elections to the Knesset. Democracy is thus denied to citizens, even Jews, who wish to work within the parliamentary system towards replacing the Jewish state with a secular state which represents all of its citizens, equal rights, regardless of religion or ethnic origin. This law alone prevents Israel from being seen as a liberal democracy of a Western type. I'll continue here with Mr. Williamson's writings. I'm going to let it rip today, folks. I'm tired of this. I'm watching my country being destroyed by the bastards, and there's not a thing I can do about it. I can certainly speak up about it.
It's the least we can do for the red, white, and blue. We must take America back. We must take America back.
Financial.